Hawks top hour, Hawks top hour. I can't think anything that rhymes with Husky, so I'm on the radio and not on the bus.
And now the news. Today we are at Hartford Primary School, where Jamie Oliver has come to meet the pupils and the kitchen staff to see how the new menu he has designed is going down. Oliver's just getting out of his car at the front, walking towards the gate. Oh dear, what's this? This is exactly what they didn't want to happen. There's a little chubby child, and he can clearly be seen with a bag of chips. Oliver's gone up to him. He's questioning. He's now Oliver's pointing at the chips. Oh dear. I feel the little lad, the little chubby boy, is in trouble here. Look at Oliver. He looks incandescent. He's pointing at the chips again. The little boy, he's shaking his head. We are not sure what's happening here, listeners, as the pictures are live, but the boy's shaking his head. Oh, he's pulling the chips towards him. Oliver's made a grab for the chips! He's grabbed the chips! The little boy's fighting, and Oliver's pushed him to the ground! Oh, dear! Oh, no! Oh, and Oliver's now eating the chips! What's going on? He's an ambassador for good food! Oh, no! And Oliver's got a chicken nugget, and it's in the mouth! Oh, dear! Oh, no! Oliver's reputation as a healthy chef is in tatters! This is exactly what nobody expected. And the little chubby boy is crying. Oliver is standing over him. Well, dear, oh dear. The crowd thought Oliver was telling him off, but all Oliver was doing was actually stealing the little fat boy's chips. That's Oliver 1, little fat boy 0. Back to you in the studio.
Here I come to save the day.
That means a story
is on the way.
I had a Chinese chicken today in my sandwich, and when I say Chinese, that just means it was the brightest, reddest chicken I've ever seen in my life. Like ruby red here. I don't know why that's Chinese, but the flavour was a bit Chinesey. See, that's pretty... Look, you got like an Indian, that tastes Indian-y. Chinese tastes Chinese-y. What does England taste like? What's the flavour of England? Hey, we haven't got a flavour. It's another thing. We haven't got our own bank holiday, St. George's Day, and we haven't also now haven't even got a national flavour. What's going on? You know, it can't taste roast beefy, because that's just a meat. Sausage and mashy, if you could perhaps combine them into a sausage. I mean, but is that it, though? Our national flavour is a kind of sausage. Well, that's not good enough. Need to pick this up, people. I want someone over the weekend to invent the flavour of England, please. Thank you.
This is only the head and leg of a very big mosquito.
Vampire bats.
Killer ducks.
This is the strange community of the hospitality which interests me most.
But today I was thinking about God creating the world and all the planets with nothing else on, fairly useless. But you just wonder why he made the Earth. What's he getting out of it? What's the benefit for him? Was it just like a little plaything for to put his son on? Just to muck around, keep him busy for a bit? That didn't go too well, did it? Should have got a babysitter as well, I think. But, you know, it kind of smacks to me that God may be some kind of big modelling nerd. Like, maybe we've got him, everyone's like saying, oh yeah, God, he is cool, what a dude. But actually, maybe he's just kind of a train spotter nerd person, and he like made the world because that was his passion. All the other gods are mucking about, drinking and smoking, chatting up bird gods, probably. And he thought, oh, not really, I don't like women that much. Well, they don't fancy me very much. I think I'll make a little model out of matchsticks. Because he did some weird stuff. Like, there he was, kind of making man out of dust, making women out of ribs. I mean, that all sounds a bit nerdy modelling when you think about it. But I do wonder how we got to the scenario of him having to make the Earth in 7 days. Was it some kind of God homework assignment? And he had all summer to do it over the summer. Maybe like it was like his dissertation in God school. And then he left it He just, I'll get it. And his, like, his mum kept going, are you doing that dissertation? Yeah, mum, I'm working on it. I'm just doing research. I'm getting some primary data, the questionnaires. Is he fuck? He's making them up. No one, I don't believe anyone ever really gets people to do questionnaires. You just make it up. You get a couple of token ones, and the rest of it, you're like, yeah. What do I want to prove? Yeah, okay, we'll just make that one. But so he was there, you know, all summer, mucking about, probably in the park. And then 7 days before starting school, he's like, oh, shit, I've got to do that bloody homework. Right, come on then, let's do it quick. And he was just gone, he went crazy. He was making any sort of shit. Some plants, roses, stinging nettles. Why have you done that? It's a horrible, ugly green plant that only stings people. Shh. Just, look, I've just got to make a load of different bloody stuff, alright? God. I haven't got time for plants. I've got to do, you know, water, planet, lights. See, so maybe God isn't the all-powerful thing that we imagined he really is. He's just like a kind of lazy schoolboy who had to do his homework, which was the world, the Earth, the solar system, everything and everyone in it, in 7 days, because he'd left it to the last minute. And that probably explains why we got gingers. And why bloke's hair falls out. It's just all, he hadn't thought it through. He rushed it. It was a rush job. He didn't, you know, and that's why we got the defects and stuff. Hairy ball back, that was just, you can tell that's rushed. No thought's gone into that. Genitalia on the outside in hairy, ugly ball bags, which is meant to be erotic to women. He rushed that right through.
And Mrs. Santa Claus has positively identified the kidnappers as Martians.
Thank you, Santa, for bringing happiness to the children of Mars.
Through the side-splitting humour of Husk's Half Hour.
Today, there's a bloke at work who's knacked his leg in. He's, I don't know, snapped some tendon or did some harmful damage to his leg. So he's on crutches. And we're in the kitchen today. I saw him making a cup of tea. And just, I was talking to him, kind of chit-chat. And then what all I was thinking at the time was, how's he going to get that cup of tea back with crutches? Now this I must see. So I was just there, and the anticipation was building. He was there, he had the water, put into the tea bag, added the milk, hopping about the kitchen. I'm just thinking, how can you, it's impossible. Even if he left the crutches behind and hopped back to his desk, how much of the tea's going to be left? So I was looking forward to this. And then some bloody other git comes in and says, oh, do you want some help taking that back to the desk, mate? And I thought, oh, you bastard, you've ruined it. I was just going to find out how people with crutches manoeuvre tea around the office, and he bloody selfishly took the tea back to his desk. I mean, I could have done that, but where's the fun in that? Hey?
Oh, Grandpa Jack, we hate you, because you're a boring old xenophobic forgetful git.
It's important that you keep your peckers up. Hello, listeners. It's Grandpa Jack here. How are you diddling? Are you keeping your peckers up? It's important that you keep your peckers up. Even at my age, every morning I wake up, he'll be stiff as a board. And I'll say, Elsie! Elsie! Something's occurring! He's awake! He wants to say hello! Of course, you'll tell me to piss off, but you've got to try, readers. You've got to try. Today I've been polishing my shoes and buffing up my braces. I'm not going out today, but you never know who might come round. I heard one fella who lived in Barnsley that one day the Queen just popped round. Well, I couldn't let her come round without some clean shoes and braces to look at now, could I? I remember the Queen getting married. Oh, such celebrations. The whole street had a great big party. Ooh, gosh. She looks now like someone's sucked all the water out of her like a big shriveled prune. Still, I'm glad it's not my wrinkled face on all the coins. Right, I've got to go now, readers. I had a can of prunes for my breakfast this morning, and now feeling some stirrings. Oh, even taking a poo takes a long time when you get to my age. Oh, ta-ra!
Okay, Sun Letters, this is a beauty. Do you know, sometimes you've got your best mate and you've got something, you know, you need to tell him, and it's a little bit awkward, and you think, oh, bloody, how do I approach this one? You know, it's about a woman. Well, imagine that, times it by 1 million, and you're getting close to the conundrum that this bloke's got here. Beautiful. He says, I want to move in with the woman I love. But, now can you guess what's coming next? That's his girlfriend? No. It's his mum? No. But, it's his best mate's nan. Come on. That is illegal, isn't it? Surely the police could get involved here. You can't go out with a best mate's nan. Come on. That is a beauty. I love it. I know the age gap would freak everyone out. It's not the fucking age gap. You're shagging that mate's nan. He's your best mate, you bastard. So let's go for the age gap. I'm 22, and I met her at my friend's 21st birthday bash. She's not like a gran. She's 54, divorced, lively and flirty. That is... Can you imagine? Imagine Sunday dinner. Nan brings round her new boyfriend. Mate, what are you doing here? What you with? And then he goes up to your nan, gives her a great big tonguey snog. Ah, no! Let's go on with this story. I travelled round with my job and started calling in to her place regularly for a cuppa. Well, I'm not sure about that. Then one bank holiday last year, I invited her out for the day, and afterwards we started going out on my off days. See, look, it's not as if it even happened as a drunken accident. He's reeled her in here. Let's go out for lovely days out, shall we? Only one reason why a bloke would go and look at a lovely cathedral, and it's not to admire the peaks on the cathedral. Dirty dog. He did all this, right, even though he had a girlfriend of 19. But then once he was seeing old granny, the old grey goddess, his girlfriend, 19, she began to seem shallow in comparison, and young, fit and lithe, no doubt. Whilst having sex with my girl, I started fantasising about being with my pal's nan. Oh, man. God, can you imagine? All right, his best mate's gonna be pissed off. What about his poor girlfriend of 19 who he used to go out with? He was shagging her, thinking of some old 54-year-old granny. That is... That's a harsh thing to take, isn't it? My girlfriend and I soon split, then... What if he calls her Nan? Then one day out with my mate's Nan, we held hands, kissed and said we loved each other. We're now lovers, and it's awesome! But she wants to keep it all quiet because of her grandson. Oh my. So if any time you find your best mate keeps popping round your granny's and going on trips out, you better step in pretty quick before it escalates up. Escalates upstairs into the bedroom. He says he wants to move in with her and have a relationship, but we can't because of the age gap. Fuck. It's not the age gap. It's his mate. That's your best mate's bloody nan, you bastard. That is against rules. There are rules of these things, and going out with your best mate's mum, nan, dad, or anything like that, you could possibly get away with a sister, but you can't go anywhere. You can't go up from that, I'm afraid. Then he says, my parents would disown me, my friend would freak out, and I'd lose all credibility. All credibility at work. What does he do, right, that involves, if anyone's seen going out with a 54-year-old, that's it, you've lost all credibility at work after that. I would give him more credibility, because it'd just be so funny. Every time you saw him at work, you'd just have to say something about granny shagging or something like that. You wouldn't resist. Oh, it'd be brilliant. You'd just smile. You'd smile and laugh every time you saw him, without even saying anything. That he's really torn and spends the time when he's not with her, worrying about her future. Well, I wouldn't worry too much. She hasn't got much left. Probably another 20 years, she'll be gone. You better get another girlfriend then. Maybe your mate's niece or something like that. He might have had a daughter by then. You can go get in there. Oh, let's see what Deirdre has to say. Fucking hell. Oh, it's not the age gap that may put... It's a big age gap, and that may put a strain on your relationship in the end. But you're doing nothing wrong, and love isn't easy to find. Still, to avoid causing waves, why not just keep it secret? Deirdre's on, she's on form today. Yeah, why don't you just go out there? You'll soon get bored. Maybe find someone older. She said, what's the rush in moving in? Are you trying to move away from home, or do you just want to be looked after? If you want to go public, you should tell your mate first and do it with the two of you together. Oh, God, that would be scary. What are you two doing here? I thought we had a meeting with your new Oh, no. Oh, dear. And then, of course, as every bloody letter, Deirdre's got a goddamn leaflet on the subject. Why don't you have my free leaflet? Age gaps. Do they matter? Question mark. Brilliant. Tell you what, that's made me chortle a great deal listening to that. Good old, I haven't bought this on for ages and it's just hit the form. It's like premiership winning form, that is. Beautiful. Keep up the good work, sun readers. What are you going to do? Who's going to buy songs from someone who looks as weird as someone at Deliverance? News nuggets. That's a good one, this. RSPCA probes fall frontman. This Marquis Smith, you probably hear, he appears on the podcast regularly buying sweets. He's being investigated by the RSPCA after he boasted about killing squirrels. I just like the wording, boasting about killing squirrels. I mean, of all the things that you're going to boast about killing, a tiny little squirrel is probably not very impressive. You know, down the pub, I'll usually, if I'm, you know, talking to a lady, I'd usually go in with a bit of bear wrestling. I don't go in with a, yeah, killed a squirrel the other day. Oh, thank you, I am impressive, but yes, you were right. Arm wrestling first, of course. And I like the tone of Mark, he's such a git, it's brilliant. He says, Smith, from The Fall, said he would happily set about an endangered red squirrel with a set of professional hedge clippers. And it's like the words he puts in, I'd happily do that. Wouldn't cause me any bother at all. He goes, "Mark, squirrels mean nothing to me. I killed a couple last weekend, actually. They were eating my garden fence." Just the wordage is just beautiful. These squirrels, they mean nothing to me. He then turned his back on them and ordered their deaths. Like an Italian godfather, like in the Godfather movies.
You mean nothing to me.
Smith went on to boast he wouldn't have a problem with running over a seagull for fun. See, that wordsmanshipman Smith is just the way to go. I wouldn't, I mean, the thing is though, everyone wouldn't mind running over a seagull, apart from some of the bastards around playgrounds where they get fed loads, are massive. But you always try, but they just run them over, nothing happens. They're like the fucking Terminator. You go for a seagull or a pigeon, he's in the road, he's not moving, you think, oh. Initially you think, oh, look out, and you think, that might be the little fucker that shot on me. Speed up! Whoosh, straight over him. You look round, he's still there! What? How did that happen? Then you think, fuck, he better not turn on me, that bastard's rock solid. Now, the RSPCA didn't find this very funny. They said, to suggest in a magazine read by youngsters, who are so impressionable, huh? That it's a good idea to harm wildlife is both extremely stupid and highly irresponsible. Youngsters aren't worried about bloody harming wildlife. They're too busy harming adults and bloody videoing it on their phones with their hoods up so you can't recognise them. It says, though, that these animals are highly protected and anyone killing, harming or taking red squirrels from the wild can face up to 6 months in prison and a 20 grand fine. Fucking hell. Fit Steve. He says you can't even kill grey squirrels without a good reason. Like what? Yes, I killed that grey squirrel. What was the reason? He called my mum a slag, alright? Yeah. And then he signed, put his fucking middle paw up, or finger, if they have fingers, and then mooned me. So I thought, I'm not having this. No grey squirrel comes down my manor, giving it the old big I am. So I killed him. It was a gruesome knife fight. To be honest, though, it's all kind of hypothetical. You can't even get near a fucking squirrel, let alone kill him. Christ, you get within 20 metres, the bastard's up a tree, like lightning. He could, in fact, come up to you, do a little dance. You better catch him. They're like catching smoke. Those babies can move. They're lightning. Like little Theo Walcott's. Harder! That's not enough! I need more! Okay, the Hosk today is kind of off doing consultancy type work, and fucking hell, I must be the worst consultant in the history of consultants. Oh man, I was doing this piece of work, I haven't got a fucking clue how it works. I've already done it like that once. It's kind of embarrassing when you're brought in. Brought in as the expert, and you're like, oh, I haven't got a clue. Help! Oh man, and it's, you know, that's bad enough if it happens in your own kind of HQ and you can work at it and relax and listen to some music or whatever. But here, I was bloody in a strange place, surrounded by strange people. You look around, they're all working, you're thinking, fuck, I'm there, I am wrestling with this bastard piece of work. And it was like a bloody multi-headed hydra, because every time I bloody lopped off one of the heads and solved one problem, something fucking else would occur and bite me on the ass. It's been a bloody wrestle today. I've been down to the depths, like what's his face, bloody white wizard twat, when he, Merlin, no, Gandalf, when Gandalf went down to the depths to fight the Balrog. That's what I've been doing today. I've been wrestling the fiery nastiness of a Balrog. Although on the plus side, I am learning quite a lot of stuff very quickly as well, I might add. So I am benefiting, and hopefully by the end of the week, the company will too. Oh, dearie me. I've seen the bloody future. I've bloody seen it with my own two eyes. And you know bloody what, Rangers? You know what? The future is glass. The future's bloody glass. I can see all the way bloody skits. The future. Well, you bloody know, you already know, don't you? You bloody already know, and you've no one fucking told me, you little fuckers. You fucking know. You bloody... What was I fucking talking about again? Yes, I was talking about the future. Let me tell you, bloody reasons, the future is a glass that holds two pints. Yep, not one pint. But bloody two. Yes, imagine all the time you bloody save. If you only had to go to the bar half as often, I could bloody save days of my life. If this had been invented 20 years bloody earlier, I could have drunk a lot more. With all that flipping walking getting in the way, liqueuring at the pissing bar. Bloody genius invention this is. The two-part glass, listeners, is the future. But the downside is, you can get tremendously drunk. I'm going to pass out now. Goodbye.
I'm bossy. You're so bossy, you ought to be milked before you come home at night.
Yeah, the only escape I get from your nagging is listening to Husk's Half Hour. Hour.
Okay, here is a fact, I reckon. Adverts on the radio don't work. Never are you impressed with something you hear on the radio. You just think, load of rubbish. They'll sound kind of stupid. They'll sound cheap. And they don't sound like they're going to bloody trick me into buying any of their wares. Let me tell you. And they're all for, like, stupid things like plastics or some car dealer. I'm not going to go and buy a new car because I heard it on the radio. Whatever, some kind of local business, like some kind of glass company, who everyone knows, but no one goes to. Unless you need glass, maybe. But then even then, you just go to the cheapest. Come on, who are we kidding? So just stop advertising on the radio, please. Although one of my favoured kind of radio stations, Kerrang, they're pretty good at business without that. Bugger. It's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it?
Wow.
wakey wakey. You've got some comedy to listen to, sunshine.
Hey, Hosk. Yes, Hosk. I got a question for you. Thought you might have. Hit me. What do you fear the most? Another excellent question, Hosk. Thank you, Hosk. What I fear the most is that one day, when I'm sleeping, curled up in my bed, someone will come in and remove my funny bone. Oh, yes. I'll lose the ability to be funny. Then I'll be just like one of you plebs listening to this. Yes. Jokes will make a noise as they hit the floor with no one laughing. It'll be like Superman trading his powers for that kind of rather plain woman, Lois Lane. That's be like I'll be just an average Joe walking the streets like the littlest hobo from town to town looking for the long-lost funny bone of Hosking. And don't you dare anyone say I've already lost it, you little bastards. And then I'll have to go back to Hoskdon, just the Hosk version of Krypton, and get my powers back. I'll have to fight Lex Luthor, who'll hire Richard Pryor from Brewster's Millions to create a supercomputer that will fire missiles at me. And then when I get closer, he'll get me in a kind of cellophane bag type thing, and I'll be choking and... But luckily I've got some molten lava which will start exploding and growing until it all falls down, and then I fly off back to Comedy Central, back to the Hoskcast, making jokes and stuff like that. So that's what I fear the most.
The elephant says, here's a news nugget.
Ah, this is good. Estate agent made a killing. As it is an estate agent, I am in no sympathy. Though this German estate agent was shocked to find himself described on TV as one of the most wanted men in the world. Take that. He saw a picture of himself and wife in a local equivalent of Crime Watch. See, that'd be a great trick, wouldn't it? Just put a load of fake people in Crime Watch, like some old ladies and stuff, as killers. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be amusing. They were described as a ruthless mafia godfather who's been a killer since he was a teenager and his partner. Can you imagine that in the street? But the curtains were twitching, haven't been very friendly to all of a sudden. It's funny though, because he spent, after the show was aired, he had to spend the next 2 days convincing his neighbours, boss and family that he was not a crime lord from Boston who had served time in Alcatraz. Can I imagine the conversation? Like, come on, just admit it. You're a mafia crime lord who's killed hundreds of people. Yeah, that long holiday? You were in bloody Alcatraz, weren't you? You bloody weasel. Yeah, but would they really be that accusing? You know, if you found out one of your member of the family, was a mafia boss, you don't go around saying, oh, yeah, and start arguing with him, are you? You might have you done in. Horse's head in the bed and all that. One of his neighbours, though, came round with a bottle of beer and said he didn't know I had a sideline. But evil mother-in-law. Now, I mean, mafia crime bosses are nothing compared to the mother-in-laws. Goodness, they're experts in torture. Unless if accidentally somehow my mother-in-law listens to this, not you, the other ones. Anyway, mother-in-law took his opportunity to tell his wife of 30 years what a mistake she had made in marrying him. What a git. Hello!
Hello!
Hello! It's Mark A. Smell from the farm!
Mark A. Smell!
Cinema, my local ODN, and before the film, I bought some pick and mix. My favorite, baby. So excited was I by the range of delicious confectionery that I went a bit overboard putting in white mice, bonbons, mini eggs, marshmallow jelly babies, and some colored bottles. My bag was quite heavy. I went up to the till and was served by a young lady, a young southern lady. The evil southerner looked at me with her beady eye and weighed my lovely swag of confectionery sweeties. She then uttered these words, much to my disbelief. She said, £4.37. I said, how can you come down here, you southern witch, and judge the northern man? £4.37. Just for his God-given rights of some lovely sweets. She said, listen, buddy, I just weigh the sweets and charge the sweets. I do not set the prices. I said, yeah, but your southern paymasters do, and you are doing his evil bidding. She then said, do I want the sweets or not? I said, let me please put some back. some sweets back, but really ate them whilst Greek queuing. Went back to the counter, £2.53. I was sticking it to the man, the southern man. Then I watched the film, and it was shit. It had Sandra Bullock in. I then went home angry and sacked my band. Goodbye! Goodbye! Need more cheese. Up the cheese factor. Up the cheese factor. But that's boggling of the mind, because you can't get any more cheesy than cheese. Need more cheese. The host got his hair cut today. Tedious event, which I really find boring. The worst thing is, you go in, and the bloody people ask you the same boring questions each goddamn time you go. Oh, hello, are you out on lunch? Yes, same as I told you last 8 weeks ago. I'm out on lunch. What do I do? I'm a computer programmer, yeah. Wait, you know the next one? Where are you going on your holidays? I just want my hair cut. Hair cut and silence. What I'd like, you know, why don't they, I think they should up it and make a, they should keep a personal file on their regular people they cut hairs from. Hairs. Hair. And they should, when you come in, have a little look. Oh. Hosky. Programmer all works up the road. And I've had this done last time. Same again. Your usual, sir. Oh, go on then. How's the computer programming going? Well, that's bloody nice. Boring as fuck, actually, but I like the way you asked me that question. Very good, very good of you to remember the full 2 months since I came back here. And I could just build up a little file, you could continue conversations. Perhaps, like, write down where you left it off. I mean, but that's fine sitting there, boring. What I'd like is, if it was to be socially acceptable, for me to go there, sit down, and just have a little sleep. Wake up 20 minutes later, my hair's all cut. Brilliant. I mean, how good would that be? Little kip, haircut, bosh. Because what you sit there, you're watching it, and all the time you're thinking, they've fucked that up. Oh my god, FR, what's she doing? Spawn! Oh, that's a bit uneven. Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, in the end though, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they fucking do. It's not going to grow. They can't change it. It's too late then. And anyway, in 2 weeks' time, it'll grown back to its standard length. Just waiting for the next haircut to happen. I mean, it's not really important. And it's a bloody... I find it quite humorous, the fact they ask, oh, is that okay? Well, a bit too fucking late now, isn't it? You've finished! You've cut it all off! What can you do about that? If I said no, the only alternative is to shave it all off, so I'm gonna keep my mouth shut, thank you very much. I won't even talk about girls having their haircut. The hairdresser sits down, they sit down, hairdresser looks at the hair, they go, oh, you've cut too much off! I haven't even started, for God's sake. So there you go, that was Hosk's exciting adventure to the hairdressers. No, actually, whoa, step back. Blokes go to barbers, women go to hairdressers and salons, alright? Don't get that mixed up. I'm not going for some airy-fairy, charge you twice as much bloody job. I'm going to a good, solid barber. Go in, cut it, and that's it. That's your lot. No cups of tea, no hair dyes, just a good honest graft of cutting your hair. No bloody stylings. In barbers, there's no such thing as styling, he just cuts it. It doesn't matter what you say to him, oh, can I have a George Clooney, he just gives you the haircut he gives you every time you go in. And the only way you can affect things is by saying what kind of length of the cutter is, like a grade 2 or 3. That's the only control you've got. Apart from that, he's going to cut it the way he wants and you're going to bloody like it. It reminds me of my nephew. They used to take him to this barber's and he had a shaky hand. So you could see sometimes his fringe was a bit wavy. Whereas now, if that happened, probably the kid would go into therapy. In the good old days, we call that morale building. Morale building. Morale building. Morale building. Morale building. Morale building.
Where did that accent come from?
Yes, indeed, sir.
You're
Get
fucking...
the fuck! Get the fuck!
Stop making me insult you. It's just like...
Stop forcing my hand.
Honestly.
Stop fucking forcing my hand.
God.
And here is the mock-ups.
Hosks story. I was just going to find out how people with crutches manoeuvre tea around the office. Brightest, reddest chicken I've ever seen in my life. Our national flavour is a kind of sausage. Our national flavour is a kind of sausage. Our national flavour is a kind of sausage. what's his face? Bloody white wizard twat. She's going, no, let's have a sit-up competition. Brandlessly drunk. I'm going to pass out now. Goodbye.
Moses to brain.
Oh, I've just had an ice... Yeah, that long holiday? You in bloody Alcatraz, weren't you? You bloody weasel. I want someone over the weekend to invent the flavour of England, please.
Thank you.
And she said that to stop her leotard riding up her ass crack, she sellotapes it, or some kind of sellotaping is involved. And it goes up to your nan, gives her a great big tonguey snog. Ah, no!
If I could get my lettuce fucking poo shit bum, fellow hairy chuff chuff. If I could get my letter showed in the sun, I'd thank the Lord for the current bun. I'd get page 3 go to touch my plum. Never swear in front of a nun. Show your bum in a gay bar. Sun letters. Can I just say, that took a ridiculous amount of goes to actually get that awesome rap correct. It's hard to bloody believe that, isn't it? touch my plum.
Even if he left the crutches behind and hopped back to his desk, how much of the tea's gonna be left? So that's the thing, I was looking forward to this. But you can probably tell I've never got out of a car with a six pack. I'm buffing up. Oh, what are they called? Fucking hell. I'm buffing up. Oh, what are they called? Fucking hell. I'm buffing up. Oh, what are they called? Fucking hell. Bloody Raiders. The future is a bloody... Yeah, tug leotard out of arse crack. You lose points on style. A bit harsh. I don't know why I was thinking about it.
You mean nothing to me.
Giving it the old big I am. I killed him. It was a gruesome knife fight. You can't go out with a best mate's nan. Come on. That is a beauty. I love it. You bloody already know and you've no one fucking told me. You little fuckers.
If I had a letter printed in the sun, I'd really think what fun is a current in my bun. I wish I was a nun. Instead, I'll have to eat this plum. Sun letters.